Now, ballet is probably one of the most demanding forms of art and dance, with ballet dancers spending hours and years honing their skills and form. But did you know many of them dance through potentially disabling pain? Researchers at Curtin University have developed a wearable sensor system which can track the movement of dancers and provide insight into how they adapt to dance through pain. Lead researcher of the study and physiotherapist and former professional ballerina Dr. Danica Hendry from the Curtin School of Allied Health joins us this morning to tell us all about this research. Good morning. Thanks for joining me on The Record.
Hi, Fiona. Thanks for having me here today.
So your research looks into ballet dancers and their experiences with pain. Before we delve more into it, what led to the idea of this research?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So as you said, I was a professional ballet dancer before becoming a physiotherapist. And as a dancer, I experienced pain myself. So at around 14 years old, I started getting some back pain and had various foot and ankle issues along the way. And it's all things that I had to manage. And that kind of made me post-dance career want to explore a career as a physiotherapist and work really closely with dancers. And as I was working with dancers and seeing them present with different pain presentations, I wanted to know more about what was happening there. And one of the big things that I found was that when we were trying to get information from dancers about how much they were dancing and what they were doing throughout their day and their training load, it was really, really challenging because it was so, so variable for each dancer and it was so specific to each dancer. So I wanted to understand their pain better by understanding their movement and the other complex factors that associate with pain.
And which led to the creation of the wearable sensor system. Can you tell us more about how it was developed?
Yes, so the wearable sensor system we developed in collaboration with data scientists at the Curtin Institute for Computation. And basically the wearable sensor system uses little accelerometers, which accelerometers are essentially like a Fitbit, where they detect movement. Now, normally, you know that a Fitbit can detect when you're sitting and standing and walking and running, but it can't tell when someone's dancing. And so what we did is we went and put a few different sensors onto a group of dancers, and we got them to do some of the typical dance movements that have previously been associated with the development of pain and different injuries in dance. And these were specifically jumping tasks and leg lifting tasks.
So how many interrupted. Please continue.
No, that's fine. So we videoed them doing these movements and then we went through and we basically used machine learning, which is a form of artificial intelligence, which basically allows the machine to automatically detect when the dancer is doing these different tasks. And we then further trained it to understand how the dancers were moving when they were doing them. So, for example, when they jumped, what forces were acting on their body when they landed. And this was really important for our research because we know that dancers can land with up to 7 times their body weight going through them in terms of force.
It sounds like there were so many moving parts, obviously, with dancing. But putting this all together, what was the trial and error process like getting the sensors working and all the accompanying technology?
It was definitely a task. And added to which, there was the complexity of the fact that dance is a very aesthetic, athletic pursuit. So whereas in elite sport, you can put a sensor on and it doesn't matter if people can see them. With dancers, they need to be hidden in some way because of the aesthetics and the artistic lines that dancers need to be able to create with their body. So there was that challenge. There was also the challenge of having the sensors talk to each other and talk to the computational programs that we had to allow this to happen. You're right, there were a lot of moving parts.
So how many sensors roughly does the dancer have to wear on them to be able to capture all this data?
So for our final data collection, we actually used 6 wearable sensors on the dancers, and we accepted in that in that context that the dancers would be able to see the senses. So they were four on their legs and then two on their back. However, we looked at reducing that sensor number, and if we were to just use one sensor, we wouldn't have as good accuracy at detecting the different movements. However, we could just use one sensor just located on their lower back, which would be really well hidden, and that would be able to give us an indication of what they were doing as well.
So you're listening to On the Record, and I'm joined by Dr. Danica Hendry from the Curtin School of Allied Science, and we're discussing research that looks into dancers adapting their movements to dance through pain. Now, for the study, you analysed 52 pre-professional ballet and contemporary dance students from WAPA. I read that 50 out of 52 dancers said they experienced pain, with 26 reporting the pain impacted their training or performance. Can you tell us a little bit more about these findings?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, almost all of our dancers experienced pain at some point during the semester that we collected them in. However, only half of those were really disabled by their pain. And when we spoke about disability, we were talking in terms of whether the pain stopped them from dancing altogether for at least one day, or it impacted their day's training. So, for example, they weren't able to jump that day, or they had to keep their leg a little bit lower when they lifted their leg, or they had to modify their training in some way. So we found that only half the dancers had to do that because of their pain. This was potentially because the dancers actually had really surprisingly low levels of pain. So when we asked them to rate it on a score out of 10, most of the dancers were only saying that they had about a 3 out of 10 pain. And that was the worst pain they experienced. We also found that their levels of disability, so how much they were impacted by their pain, was also really low as well. They didn't actually perceive that they had high levels of disability. So as a result, a lot of them were able to keep on dancing. Interestingly, the only two dancers in our study who had to stop dancing completely were also our only two dancers who had an acute traumatic injury. So one of them dislocated her shoulder, the other dislocated her kneecap, and as a result, they had to stop dancing completely. The rest of the dancers were able to continue to engage in dancing at some level throughout their pain.
That's really quite interesting findings. Do you think maybe the low pain threshold that they have is because of all the years of training and doing those movements?
Yeah, potentially they have become accommodated to pain in some way. So they've gotten used to the fact that they experience a lot of different types of pain and they perceive pain in different ways. And when we look at some of the other research out there, we know that this is quite common in dancers. So dancers are used to working really hard. They're used to having normal muscle soreness. They're used to going up on point and feeling some kind of pressure through their feet when they're on point. And so potentially the way they perceive pain and the fact that they could get a little bit hardened to it may have impacted this.
So how will these sensors and this research help with injury analysis and recovery?
So what we hope is that over time we will be able to refine this system further so that it becomes more user-friendly and allows dancers to kind of track themselves throughout their normal training so that they can put a sensor on, it connects up to an app, and that will give them an indication of what their training load has been throughout that day, and potentially give them little alerts or little wake-ups when something seems to be going out of their normal. The sensor system as well will potentially be able to be used with other questionnaires and monitoring of dancers over a long period of time, where we'll be able to look at other factors that impact pain, because we know that movement isn't the only thing that influences pain. We know that pain is really, really complex and has lots and lots of interrelationships between different factors. So, for example, sleep can impact pain, stress and anxiety can impact pain as well, and potentially pain can impact those things. So the sensor system basically gives us another piece to the puzzle of pain that we're able to put together with everything else to broaden our understanding and to hopefully over time prevent dancers from experiencing pain and help them keep on dancing.
It sounds like there's so many amazing applications from this technology and research. What are the differences between existing systems of measurement and the wearable sensors?
So with a lot of the existing systems that are out there, so if we start with systems that are used in elite sport, it's really, really common in elite sport that athletes wear sensors as they go out to track the amount of movement they're doing, so their quantity of movement. So, for example, you see the AFL players have their GPS systems on their backs, and that tracks how far they're running in a game and how fast they run in a game. Most of that is looking at their movement quantity and isn't able to look at movement quality. So, for example, when someone jumps, the forces that are acting through their body. The systems that are able to do that are really big laboratory-based systems. So things like force platforms on the floor and big camera systems that are very expensive and require a lot of work to get that data. So you're having to take athletes and dancers out of their normal training environment into a laboratory to capture that. And so you're often only limited to collecting it at a one-off time point as opposed to collecting it over time. The wearable sensor system that we developed allows us to collect over time. So it would allow for daily or weekly collection to give us an indication of the trends and the patterns that we see with people. And on top of that, it allows us to collect things in the dancer's normal environment so that we're getting it in their normal training. It's not in a kind of artificial made-up environment.
And I assume, and I guess that will help the ballet dancers and the contemporary dancers and any future applications with this technology to be able to not have to think, oh, I'm doing a test for a research project. They can just act as normally and that doesn't affect their behaviour.
Absolutely. So it makes it really, really valid in their normal life and allows them to just kind of get on with their normal life as well, but allows physiotherapists and wellness teams working in dance and researchers as well to have this really rich information from them while being minimal burden to the dancers.
So we mentioned before that you yourself are a former professional ballerina and now you work as a physiotherapist with ballet dancers. How has your experience as a ballerina impacted your research?
Yeah, so my experience as a dancer, I suppose the biggest thing is having experienced pain myself, I understand how distressing it can be for dancers at times. So although our dancers seem to have quite good management of pain, this isn't the case for every single dancer out there. And it can be distressing. Dancers have such a strong connection to their role as dancer. And they want to be able to control things in relation to the trajectory of their career. And pain can be something that can really impact them. It can impact them getting a role or getting a job or allowing them to do the thing that they love every single day. So that really kind of impacted how I wanted to approach this research. The other struggle that physiotherapists often have with dancers is that dancers do just want to keep on dancing because it is something that they love so much. And so helping them monitor their training loads is such an important part of what physiotherapists do.
Now, finally, we've been talking all about this amazing research and technology that you've developed at Curtin School of Allied Health. But just to end off, what's the next step for this research and the sensing technology?
So hopefully our next steps will be to further refine the machine learning models that we have and to be able to consolidate the wearable sensor system from a six sensor system to a single sensor system, so that it's something that's really user friendly. There's a lot of work to do to allow that to happen, but there's a lot of excitement there around it as well. With the sensor technology also, there's so many different applications of it. So I'm also involved in projects where we're looking at detecting different movements in children to allow us to measure how much movement they do throughout their day as well. And there's other PhD projects happening at Curtin, which is looking at doing similar work with different populations of people, such as people with knee osteoarthritis. So there's a lot of scope from this wearable sensor space as to where it could go.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the record this morning and telling us all about your research.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
You're most welcome. That was lead researcher, physiotherapist and former professional ballerina, Dr. Danica Hendry from the Curtin School of Allied Health. She shared with us the exciting new wearable sensor system that was developed and how it can help look into the movement of dancers, specifically ballet and contemporary dancers, and how they adapt to dance through pain.